Today's daf is Bechiras daf Nunhei, and we will begin from the Mishnah, 18 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. So on Yontif, we began the ninth and final perek of Mesechtas Bechiras, perek Meiser Behema. And as we discussed in our introduction to perek Meiser Behema, perek Meiser Behema deals not with the laws of Bechir, but rather with the laws of Ma'aseh Behem. The Torah talks about Ma'aseh Behem at the end of Parshas Bechukosai. The Torah says that if somebody has a flock of animals, the halacha is he has to count his animals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10th one, Ha'asiri Yiyah Kodesh. What do you do with the 10th animal? You take the animal, you bring it up to Yerushalayim. It's hektish. It's known as Ma'aseh Behema. It has a very special Seder HaKrova that the Mishnah mentions in the fifth Perek of Masechtas Tzvachim, Perek Gezeo Makoyman. Ma'aseh Behema is another type of kachan. What's unique about Ma'aseh Behema is that in contrast to Ma'aseh Rishon, for example, or the proverbial Trumas of Ma'aseh, which were given to the Kohen, Ma'aseh Behema was not given to the Kohen, but rather the Bailam himself was allowed to eat the Ma'aseh Behema. So the only Chiddush of Ma'aseh Behema was, and it's a big Chiddush, is that it was kachim. Hasiri Yekodesh, it automatically takes on the status of hektish, which means that you have to be makrifit as a carbon. But from a practical standpoint, at the end of the day, the Bailam is going to be the one that's going to be the beneficiary of the Ma'aseh Behema, in contrast to giving it to a kohen. That's for sure the conventional wisdom. Stating that, as we'll see at the end of the daf, when it comes to the rate portion, it's clearly not such a davar pashut. Regardless, the Mishnah is continuing to discuss some of the technical halachos related to Ma'aseh Behema. Today's daf is a very geshmaki daf. So to Mishnah, Ma'aseh Behema mitstarev kamaloi regel behema roya. So in order to be mafresh Ma'aseh Behema, you need to determine that the animals that you are counting are part of the same eder. They're part of the same flock. So if you have an open field and there are many, many animals grazing, how do you determine which animals belong to the same flock so that they would be mitzaref for the shear of Ma'aseh Behema? Says the Mishnah, Ma'aseh Behema mitzaref kimloi regel behema roya. And Rashi has two pshatim, exactly how to teach the words in the Mishnah, but really the punchline is the same, and that is that the amount of area that a roya is able to take care of, that a shepherd is able to see and oversee at once, that's considered an area that's mitzaref the behemoth within that area for the shear of Ma'aseh Behema. Says the Mishnah, Vakami Regal Behema Roya. What is that? Shear Tezayim Mil. It's 16 mil. So the mil is, of course, of Hilcha Shabbos fame. Tchum Shabbos is a mil. A mil is 2,000 amos. So this would be 16 times 2,000 amos. That's considered a shear that if you had 10 animals within a Tezayim Mil range, there would be mitzaref for the halachas of Ma'aseh Behema. Hoyu ben Elu Lamed Beis Mil. Let's say there were 32 amos between animals, a mitzdarf, it's not going to be mitzdarf. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. You just said that the shear is 16 mil. Obviously, if it's 32 mil, it's off. How you like the answer? Let's say you had a distance of more than 16 mil between animals, but in between the two animals that are more than 16 mil apart, there were other animals. The halacha is mevi u'ma'asron be'emza. There's a way to be ma'asa. We'll see in the Gemara, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, exactly how to understand this line of the Mishnah. And finally, Remeir Omer Hayarden, the Jordan River, mafsik l'ma'asa behema, is considered a hefsik l'ma'asa behema, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. How do you know that the shear of ma'asa behema, that the animals that are mitzarif for one eder, as it relates to Ma'aseh Behema, is dependent on how much of an area a roya, a shepherd, is able to oversee at once. It's learned out from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Gimel. The pasuk says, "Ba'orei Yahar, Ba'orei Hashvelu, Ba'orei Negev, Ube'eretz Binyamin, Ube'sviveh Yerushalayim, Ube'orei Yehuda." Literally, we're spanning the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. What's going to take place, says Yirmiyahu? The day is going to come where the moina, the shepherd that counted sheep, will once again count the sheep. And he won't just count them. But oy tavarna, miloshen Yavir tachas hashevet. The day will come again when the shepherd is going to count his sheep so that he can give ma'isa behema. This is one of the very positive, optimistic nevuahs that Yirmiyahu said. So there's a lot of nevuahs about churban and sefer Yirmiyahu, but there are also a lot of nevuahs about nechama and sefer Yirmiyahu. And this is one of the nevuahs of nechama. If you look at the context of Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Gimel, he talks about Oid Yishana Ba'ar Yehuda, Kol Sosim V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasim V'Kol Kala. And one of the nevuahs, toivos that Yirmiyahu said is going to take place. And this is all nevuahs that he said b'zman churban. He said Oid Tavor. But what we need, we'll get back to this at the end of the day. But what we need right now is that whatever the moina would be able to see at once, the moina, the counter, that's the shepherd, that's what counts for tavor nahatzayin. That's what counts for Maisa Behema and Chazal with Meshayer, that shear is Tezayin Mil. The Kimlu the Rabban and the Shitzer Mili Kosholto Beheina the Raya. That's how much the Raya is able to see at once. So it's interesting that in Halacha you find the concept that an ayin can be shaylid up to 20 Amas. That's why a Sukkah Shigavoy the Maila Meyasar Mama Psula, Ner Chanukah Shigavoy the Maila Meyasar Mama Psula, Rabbi the Machsher. But it comes from this idea that it's Loisholto Beheina, Yoysa Meyasar Mama. So that's how far up a person will typically see. So if you're walking in the street, so you see above your eye level, how high do you see? Up to 20 amas. But in terms of if you're in an open area, think a desert, how far do you see? Kimlu l'rabbanon, that up to shitzer mili kosholto be'ena deraya, and just like 20 amas impacts halachos, halachas such as the maximum height of a sukkah or how high you're allowed to place your Ner Chanukah, a mavoy, this, a much lesser known halacha, and that is that how much of a geographic area is mitzaref its behemoth for the halachas of Maisa Behema, it too is toloi. And how far sholto be'ena, in this context, not how high, but how far, and that the number is 16 mil or 32,000 amas. Either way, hayu ben elu leelu shleishim shnayim mil ein mitzdarfin. Right to gemar shleishim shnayim hu de ein mitzdarfin abatzam yachem mitzdarfin. How do you read the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says that what's the shear in terms of how much area is mitzdarif for ma'isa behema? It's 16 mil. And then the Mishnah says 32 mil is not mitzdarif. Right to gemar. It sounds like from that second line that 32 mil is not mitzdarif. Habatzam yachem mitzdarfin. And if it be 31 mil, it would be mitzdarif. But the Mishnah said one line earlier that it's only 16 mil. In other words, it would seem to be a contradiction, a very blatant contradiction. One line of the Mishnah to the next line of the Mishnah. First the Mishnah says it's 16 mil. Then the Mishnah says it can't be 32 mil. We have a stira of what would be if it's between 16 and 32. Zakta Gemarim from the Kabbalah Misni Seifa Hoyle Be'emza, Mevu Masr Be'emza. No, of course the shear is 16 mil. But really what the Mishnah is doing is, the Mishnah is setting up. Because even though the halacha is that if the maximum shear is 16 mil, stating that, the Mishnah is going to go on to say that there is a way to have two animals that are more than 16 mil apart and still for them to be mitzdarif for Ma'aseh Behemah. How's that possible? If you would have an animal in between. So if there'd be an animal in between the two animals, that would be enough for you to be able to be mitzdarifit. If that's the case, then the real maximum amount of distance that you can have between two animals and still be able to give ma'isa be'emo, looking at them as one eder, is 32 mil. Because if you can never have a distance of more than 16 mil, but there is this one halacha that if there's an animal be'emtza, somehow that brings it all together. So in the best case scenario, you'll have one be'emtza, two on the sides. The most that they could be away from each other on the two sides is 16 mil, which means the maximum area is going to end up being 32 mil. So ordinarily, the halacha is 16 mil. Stating that, if there's an animal be'emtza, then you can now expound the area. How far can you expand the area? Again, up to 16 mil in each direction. So if you can expand it up to 16 mil in each direction, the maximum share that you're going to have is 32 mil. Zoktimar, v'kam. As it relates to that halacha, that if there's a behema be'emtza, that somehow extends it, like you just said, it's like an erev. So how exactly does that work? Zoktimar, Rav said, chamish mikam, v'chamish mikam, v'chamish be'emtza. That what the Mishnah means is that if you would have five animals on one side, five animals on the other side, and then five be'emtza, so even though the two outer groups of five are up to 32 amas apart, but the five in the middle would be mitzdarev. How does that work? The hani chomish chazi lahacha v'chazi lach. It's a chiddush. It's not something you would necessarily think works. But the point is that the five are in the middle are mitzdarev with the five on the outer. That's good. They're within 16 amas. The five in the middle are mitzdarev with the five on the other outer side. That also makes sense. But the chiddush is that we look at it as one big eder, and all 15 animals are mitzdarev, despite the fact that the distance from the two farthest points is more than 16 mil, it's up to 32 mil. But according to Rav, the way this works is you would have to have five be'emtza, you would have to have enough in the middle that it could be mitzdarif with the two sides. If that's the case, we don't look at them as two groups, but rather we look at it as one group. Shmuel Amash, Shmuel took it as even a bigger chiddush. He said, afilu chamish mekan vehemikan. Even if you have five on one side, five on the other side, ve'echod be'emtza, and one in the middle, that would already be enough. Chazina l'raya kaman dekoy hacha v'karina b'mayna. What we do is that would be enough. Meaning you don't need that there's the middle and each one of the sides should have their own sirif. According to Rab, you need five on the side and five in the middle. So that's a 10 technically. And then have five in the middle, five on the other side. That's a 10 technically. So each one has its own shear of sirif. The chiddush is that you can make it one big happy family. It's a chiddush, but that's what the way it works. Shmuel says, no, even if the one in the middle can't be mitzdarif by its own to any one of the sides, because I have five on one side, one in the middle, and five on the other side. The five and the one is only six. That's roiv of a minion, but that doesn't work. Shisha mispalov doesn't work in my subeva. I'm one in the middle and five on the other side. Again, all I have is six. So says Shmuel, it's still going to be okay. And the reason is because Shmuel and Lamdis understood this halacha differently. The way Shmuel understood it was chazin on the roya command the koy hacha v'karina b'mayin. He says at the end of the day, this roya is going to have to be in the middle. The reason he has to be in the middle because he has one animal that's there. And when he's in the middle, he could see those five, he could see those five. So the whole concept is as far as the eye can see. This roya is going to be in the middle for that one animal. He can look to his right, he can look to his left. So even though in one direction he can only see up to 16 mil, but that's fine. The person's not limited to one direction. He could look here, turn around, look there. At the end of the day, he's able to oversee this 32 ami area at once, and therefore that would be enough, 32 mil area at once, and that would be enough for it to be considered one aid. If you have five on one side, five on the other side, meaning more than 16 mil apart, it doesn't work unless there's one in the middle. Shmuel himself, even though this supports Shmuel, but Shmuel himself went and he fa'enferd Rav, you have to say that when the Mishnah says, ad sheyehelei achas betzipoiri, it's not going back on hayuloi chomesh bekvar chananya v'chomesh bekvar usnai. Just look at the way Shmuel's explaining the brisa. It's a tosefta. Hayuloi chomesh bekvar chananya v'chomesh bekvar usnai. In mitzdarfes ad sheheilei achas betzipoyer. The simple reading of the tosefta is that if you have five here, one in the middle, it's going to be okay. That's the tosefta of the Rav. According to Rav, you would need five here, five in the middle, and five on the other side. You would need that each two groups should have their own shared tzira. But Shmuel said, the way Rav would probably read this braisa is, in fact, even if you had six on each side, it wouldn't be mitzdarif. Even if you had seven on each side, it wouldn't be mitzdarif. Where you had nine on this side and nine on that side, then the one betzipayri would be mitzdarif. It's clearly a doichik, and Shmuel definitely did not have to say this to support Rav Shita. He could have said, checkmate, this is a raya that I'm right. But either way, Tirgish Shmuel was willing to say a doichik to fa'en for Rav. Zok the Gemara, Omar Papa, Shmuel, I feel a raya mitzarif. According to Shmuel, we just said that the raya has an ability to be mitzarif. Meaning, according to Rav, you need, there should be a tziruf in order for this 32 mil area to work. With the animals be'emtza, it only works if really there's a sheer tziruf of 10 animals within 16 mils on one side, and there's a sheer tziruf of 10 animals within 16 mil on the other side. Shmuel said that the fact that the raya is in the middle, he himself is the mitzdarif. So you could have nine and nine and one be'emtza, that in and of itself would be enough. Zokti Gemara, or five and five and one be'emtza would be enough. Said Rapapa, according to Shmuel, afilu kelev shel raya mitzarif. You wouldn't physically need the raya to be there. But even if kelev shel raya would be there, that in and of itself would be enough. Because the fact that the kelev are there, that's somehow kaveya that he's there, because he has to go pick up his kelim. So it's as if he's there overseeing this entire year. What about the kelev of the raya?
Right? The shepherd always had a dog. So what about the shepherd's dog? Given the kari leva asi lemistar, do you say that even though he has a dog b'ensa, but he doesn't have to go get his dog, right? He can just whistle to him and the dog will come. So maybe that's enough. Sometimes the dog doesn't listen. He may have no choice but to go pick up his dog by himself, which would then be kaveya him in that middle area to some degree. So the question is, if the dog is b'ensa, is that enough to be mitzaref the animals on this side and the animals on that side to, for one eder with regards to the halachas of ma'aseh behema? And the Gemara says, take Yarden mafsik l'ma'aseh behema. So the last halacha of the Mishnah was Reb Meir, who said that the Yarden is considered a hefsik for ma'aseh behema. The Yarden over here means literally the Jordan River. So the Gemara, Rav Ami said, I don't know what Lasha ain't Sham Gesher. Rav Ami said that this, that Reb Meir said that the Yarden is a mafsik. That's only if there's no bridge on this part of the Jordan River. However, Avol Yesham Gesher Mitzarf. The Gesher would be Mitzarf. Now, what Ramey was saying was that if you have animals, they're all grazing within a 16 mil area, which means based on the basic halach of Ma'aseh Behema, they should be Mitzarf. They should be considered one Eder. You can take them tachas hashevet ha'asiri yer kodesh. Stating that within the 16 mil area where all these animals are, there's the Jordan River. The Jordan River is a mafsik. Says the Gemara, Amravami, that it's poshet, that that's only going to be true if there was no bridge on the Jordan River, meaning where it's physically really a hefsek. At the same time, if there'd be a bridge, then why should it be a mafsek? The fact that the Jordan River is there in and of itself, says Ravami, is of no concern to me. It would only be an issue because it's physically a hefsek, but it's not a hefsek. And the reason it's not a hefsek is because there's a bridge. So says Ravami, it's for that reason. The only time Reb Meir said is halach is if there's no gesher. If there's a gesher, the gesher has been sarf. You see from here that the way Reb Ami understood Reb Meir is that the Jordan River is not be'etzem a mafsik. It's just a practical thing. I have no way from getting from here to there. Hence, it's a mafsik. But if there was a bridge, there would be no issue. Let's say he had animals on two sides of the yarding. Or in two provinces. Let's say somebody had animals at the Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz border. See the first mission of Masechtas Gittin. So you had animals on one side and you had animals on the other side. So the question is, are they mitznarif and ma'aseh behema? No. The halacha is in mitznarfin. To go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, maybe you have to pass the border and you may have to show a passport, but at the end of the day, you can cross it. It's not like on the other side of a river where there's no bridge, and still the halacha is v'ktani le'mitznarfin. So what do you see from here? You see from here that there's a real concept of a hefsek where if these animals are in Eretz Yisrael and those animals are in Chutz La'aretz, even though they're 5 feet away, that doesn't matter. The fact that it's on the other side of the border, that in and of itself is a reason that it shouldn't be mitzdarif. Now that same Bryson mentioned Shnei Ivoria Yardin, Shnei Avtilois, and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So doesn't it sound like the other side of the Yardin is a hefsek, not because you can't get there, but rather simply because it's a hefsek? So the Gemara says, Elam Rab Chiya Barab, Am Rab Yoichanan. The Rab Chiya Barab, saying the name Rab Yoichanan, that they were so impressed with the Amiram, with this Kasha, that they had a change pshat in the Mishnah. Hainu, time of the Rab Meir. The reason Rab Meir holds the Yarden as a hefsek is the Amakra. He based it on a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'hayarden yigbol oisai lefa'as kedma. The pasuk says that the border of the original Eretz Yisrael to the east was the Yarden. Hakosav asoy gvul b'fnei atzmai. And the Lashon HaPasuk is v'hayarden yigboil osoy. The Yarden is going to be looked as a gvul. It's a separate boundary. I mean that it's a separate boundary. We look at it as a mokim b'fnei atzmai. And if it's a mokim b'fnei atzmai, it's for that reason it's considered a mafsik. So it has nothing to do with the fact that you can't practically get there. In fact, if there was a bridge and it'd be very easy to cross, it would still be an issue. The reason it's an issue is because the Torah called it a gvul. V'yarden yigbol osoy. And if it's a separate gvul, it's a separate area, that in and of itself is a reason that an animal that's there and an animal that's here would not be able to be mitzar. But the Gemara asks the Kasha, Elamiyato, if that's the case, the Pasuk says, Vitar hagvul. The pasuk also says the Allah Hagvul. Hachinami Akasa Vasoy Gvul Bifnei Atzmo. And these are psukim in Sefer Yeshua. And the psukim talk about the different gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. Now, when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, so for 7 years they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and then for 7 years they divided Eretz Yisrael. The Sheva Shekavshu, the Sheva Shechalku, and each shevet got its own chelik, and its chelik. The pasuk refers to as being surrounded by its own gvul. There were separate boundaries. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that the reason animals on the other side of the Yarden are not mitzarif from Ma'aseh Behemo, because the Yarden is a gvul, and I can't have an animal on this side of a gvul and an animal on that side of a gvul be mitzarif, so if that's the case, it should be true in the entire. This is going to have implications everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, because the whole Eretz Yisrael was divided the gvul Iseha, because each shevet had its own gvul. And that's not what Rameir said. Rameir is talking about the Yarden. He doesn't seem to be talking about the entire Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Bishloima, if the significance of the Yarden is it's on the other side of a river, and in fact, if there was a bridge, you wouldn't have this halacha, then I understand it's unique to the Yarden. Or at least it's unique to a river that's like the Yarden. But if you're going to tell me it's because the Yarden is a gvul, Gans Eretz Yisrael is full of gvulim, Vitar agvul, Va'ala agvul. So why Rameir only say a halacha regarding the Yarden? Zachdumar, Shani Hasim, there it's different. Amakra, because there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yorad hagvul hayardena, V'hoyu soitzois of Yom HaMelech, zoisti alachem ha'aretz, v'gvuloi se'a saviv. And we learn from there, Eretz Yisrael gvul echad. There's one pasuk that refers to all the gvulois of Eretz Yisrael. Zoisti alachem ha'aretz, v'gvuloi se'a saviv. That we wrap all the gvulim together, l'may nafkemina, as it relates to this halacha, that even though different parts of Eretz Yisrael were technically different gvulois, but in halacha, we look at them as being one gvul. Frank the Gemara, the obvious follow-up question. So Yarden is also one of the gvulos in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Eretz v'lo Yarden. The lashon of the pasuk is, Zois tiyalachem ha'aretz v'gvuloi se'a saviv. Emphasis on aretz. All of aretz is one gvul. Yarden is not aretz. It's not dry land. It's a river. And as a result, it's not included in the chiddush. Hence, it's a separate gvul. It's not included in the ribuy of ha'aretz l'gvul ha'isel sovim. And that's why Rameir says in the Mishnah that the halach is a yardei mafzik l'maizvet. The bottom line is we have a machloikas Rav Ami, Rav Chiya bar Abba, and the name of Rav Yochanan, Pashup Shana Rameir. Rameir said that even though there's a halach, the maizvet behem is mesarif within a shir of tezayim mil, but the yardin is a mafzik. So if you would have some animals on one side of the yardin, and other animals on the other side of the Yarden, together they wouldn't be mitzaf. You don't have a minion. As it relates to Asiri Yer Kodesh of Ma'aseh Behemah. The question is why? What's unique about the Yarden? Rav Ami said, it's a practical thing. Because the whole significance of one area is that it's physically one, it's not one area. You have to cross a river. How are you getting across the river? In fact, Rav Ami said that if there would be a Gesher, if there'd be a bridge, that would be enough to be mitzaref. Rabbi Abba said there was nothing to do with bridges. It has nothing to do with practicalities. Even if there was a bridge, the yarden would be a mafsik. It's based on a pasuk in Yeshua, Perak Yud Ches. It's looked at as a separate vol. Isn't the entire Eretz Yisrael made up of gulois? That's true, but for that, there's already a ribuy that says, and it's only aretz that's included in that ribuy. But the bottom line is, a machlekes, Rav Ami, Rav Chiya bar Abba, and Rav Yochanan had to understand, Pashup Shana Rameir Zalach. Who said that it's based on the word Vayarden Yigbol Oisoy Hainu Diktoni Yarden? So I understand where Rameir picked in the Mishnah the word Yarden, Yarden Dafka. If it be some other body of water, this halacha wouldn't be true. El Rav Ami, but according to Rav Ami, listeninu lekulu naharos. What does that do with the Yarden? It's true for any nahar. It's true for any body of water that's separating animals where there's no bridge. Gemara says, Kasha. Wonderful kasha. So the Gemara Ketanoi. It would seem that this shaila is really machlokes tano. It says ki atem oivenas hayarden artzo kinoan. Says the Gemara artzo eretz kinan v'loy hayarden eretz kinan. Divrei Rabbi Yudah ben Meisair. Rabbi Yudah ben Meisair says that from this pasuk. Ki atem oivrim es hayarden artzo kinan. These are psukim in Parshas Maaseh. That's where all the psukim are that talk about the gvulois of the original Eretz Yisrael. And the psukim that talk about the Yidden, you're going to cross the Yarden, you have a mitzvah to conquer the land, etc., etc. So it's in that context, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yamar talim. You're going to cross the Yarden, and you're going to enter Eretz Kanan. Rabbi Yudah ben Meisair said that you see from here, the Yarden itself is not Eretz Kanan. Because what does the pasuk say? You're going to cross the Yarden, and when you cross the Yarden, you're going to enter Eretz Canaan. So we learn from there that Arzo, what you're going to arrive at when you cross the Yarden, is Eretz Canaan. But v'loy hayarden eretz kana. The yarden itself is not eretz kana. Says the Gemara, "Shum meichoy oimer harei oimer." There's a different pasuk. It says, "Me'ever liyarden yirechoy kedma mizracha." The context of that pasuk is discussing Shevet Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, who settled me'ever liyarden, literally on the other side of the Jordan River, not in the Eretz Yisrael side of the Jordan River, but on the other side of the Jordan River. And the pasuk over there says, "Shnei hamatos v'chatzi hamato lokchu nachlosam." Where did they settle? Me'ever liyarden. Yerichoy Kedma Mizracha. So it's to the east of Yerichoy. That's physically where it is. And we learn from there that Ma Yerichoy Eretz Canaan, the Pasuk seems to put the Yarden and Yerichoy together. So just like Yerichoy is considered Eretz Canaan, Af Yarden Eretz Canaan, so the Yarden is also going to be considered Eretz Canaan. Either way, there seems to be a Machlokes Tanam, whether the Jordan River is part of Eretz Canaan or the Jordan River is not part of Eretz Canaan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, "Katam over mesa Yarden Eretz Canaan." When you cross the Yarden, you're going to arrive in Eretz Canaan. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that no, we're makish Yerichoy to the Yarden, and just like Yerichoy was Eretz Canaan, so too the Yarden is also considered Eretz Canaan. Either way, this shaila of whether the Yarden is considered Eretz Canaan or not would seem to tie in to this machloikis Rav Ami and Rav Chiya bar Abba. Because if the Yarden is part of Eretz Canaan, then there's no reason it should be considered a separate gvul as that relates to the halachas of Ma'aseh Behema. What then would be the svara of why the Yarden should be a mafsik if that's what Rav Meir said? Presumably it's related to the fact that it's on the other side of a river. If, however, the Yarden is not part of Eretz Canaan, then it's mumestaber by Yarden yigba loisoy, why we should look at it as a separate gvul. Whenever we talk about Yarden, what we mean is from Yerichoy down south. But my hilchah, so with regards to what halacha does this mean? Meaning, if you look at a map, the Jordan River goes or flows for a very, very long distance. Stating that, Rabbi Yochanan said that in halacha, when we talk about the Jordan River, we don't mean the entire flow of the Jordan River. We're referring to a very specific part of it. Which part? So he said it's from Beis Yerichoy down south. With regards to what Al-Khilim, Al-Noider, doesn't mean with regards to Al-Khilim, Nadar. For example, if somebody made a neder that he's not going to drink water from the Jordan River. Rabbi Yechon's paskening what the Jordan River means in Hilchas Nedarim. We know the rule. When it comes to Nedarim, halach achar loshav ne'yodam. Really, it depends not on what halacha says is the Jordan River, but what people think when they say Jordan River. So whatever people think when they say Jordan River, that's what it should be dependent on, right? Nedarim is based not on what the Torah determines, but what people are thinking. It's all the Das HaNoyder. So if you make a neder, I'm not going to have a no from something. You meant, when you said something, one thing, and the Torah rather uses that word to refer to something else, but the Darm, you don't go based on the Lashon HaTorah, you go based on the Lashon of the other. So why would Rabbi Yochanan be paskening a halacha? He has this absolute truism that the Jordan River in Hilchas Nedarim means this. Well, what's the word of doing anything? Jordan River in Hilchas Nedarim should be dependent on what the man on the street says. Says the Gemara, you're right, that can't be what it means. Elo l'maisa behema. It means maisa behema. This is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitasa. Who Rabbi Yochanan said, Pshanu Rabbi Meir, who said, Hayarde mafsik l'maisa behema, it's because the Jordan be'etzem is mafsik l'maisa behema, based on a pasuk in Yeshua Perek Yudches, Hayarde yigba loisa l'fas kedma, that the Jordan River, not other rivers, the Tafka, the Jordan River, it's viewed as a gvul b'fnei atzmai. Which part of the Jordan River is considered a gvul b'fnei atzmai? That's Rabbi Yochanan himself coming to explain his own shita. It's mibeis yirechai ulamata. But other parts of the Jordan River would not be considered part of the Jordan River as it relates to my speech. If you want to track the entire Yarden River, it starts in the cave of Panyas, u'mahalich b'yamashal sifchi, it goes through the Yam of Sifchi, meaning that's part of the Jordan River, u'b'yamashal tferya, it goes into the Yamashal Tferya, also known as the Kinneret. Ubiyamashal Stoim, also known as the Yamamelach. Vahoylech v'noifel Yamagodol, also known as the Mediterranean Sea. So this is all part of the Jordan River. Ve'en Yarden, however, in Halacha, what's the Jordan River? Mibes Yerechai ulamata. This is a Tanya Kavase. The Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikushma Yarden. Why was the Jordan River called Yarden? She yoyred midon. Because it started, it emanated from Chelkoy Shaldon. Amalei Rab Abba the Rav Ashi. So Rab Abba told Rav Ashi, Atum mehasa masnidullah. You know that the Yarden comes from Don, from the word Yarden. Lama nikushma Yarden. Yarden is made up of two words. She yoyred midon. And not mehacha masin, we know it from somewhere else. Because the pasuk says, and this is in Yeshua Perek Yud Tes, it says, Vayikru l'leshem don,
Kishem Don Aviyam, that the people of Don called this city Leshem Don. So Vayikru the Leshem Don, Beshem Don Aviyam. After they named it after the Zayde Don. Bam Rabbi Yitzchok, Leshem Zu Pamyos. And Rabbi Yitzchok said that Leshem, this city which they called Don, is Pamyos. Vitanya, we learned to the price, Yoitza Yarden, Memar is Pamyos. So we did back of the envelope arithmetic, we ended up in the same place. That we know that the Yarden comes from Don. How? Because Don was previously Leshem, and Leshem is Pamyos, and the Yarden comes from Pamyos. So one learned it from the word Yarden, and others learned it from this Messiah. But the bottom line is the Yarden comes from Don, it comes from Ma'aras Pamyas. Om Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Zachruse de Yarden om Ma'aras Pamyas. Zachruse meaning the Makar, the Ikar, Rashi says. The Ikar of the Yarden comes from Ma'aras Pamyas. Hecho de Om Aloshasina Maya, meaning if somebody says, I'm not going to drink water, Ma'aras Pamyas, that comes from Ma'aras Pamyas, it's Levakul Yarden, he's not going to be able to drink any water from the Yarden, because all water of the Yarden comes from Ma'aras Pamyas. Zachruse de Doma, blood in a person comes from kavda. It comes from his liver. A liver that disintegrates, metame brevius. It's metame tumas oil ames with the revius, because the kaved is the source of blood. If you remember the Gemara in the Sechtes Chulin, Daf Kuftes on the base, where Yalta told Rav Nachman, Yalta was Rav Nachman's wife, and she told Rav Nachman that everything that Hashem created of Isser, I know Hashem created of Heter as well. And she gave examples of it. Her first example was Asan Lan Dama. The Torah said you're not allowed to eat dam, Sharlan Kavda, but at the same time, the Torah said you want to taste blood, eat liver. Because liver has so much dam. Right? One of the sugyas of kashering liver, one of the hard sugyas in Mesechtes Chulin. Nida is aser, there's dam toyar, chelav avachaya is aser, you have chazer, eshesish, you have grusha vachaya baila, eshesach, you have yavama, chazer, you could eat the fish that tastes like the chazer. She wanted to know how you could taste pasav chalav. And what did he say? The kal, the udder of the animal, has so much chalav in it, that's where you could taste it. But the bottom line is you see that the kavet and the dam are very much related to each other. Zachrusa, the maya paras, the makar, the ikar of Maya Paras, as in the Euphrates River. I'm sorry, Zachruse, the Maya, Kama, is Paras. So the Paras is the Euphrates River, is the Makar to all the water in the world. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Hanoyder Mime Paras, if someone says he's not going to drink from the Mime Paras, Aser Bechol Me Moshe Boil. Read my Hechidam, he wants it. Elim, don't let you see the Mime Paras. You mean to say that if somebody says I'm not going to drink from the waters of Paras, he can't drink any water in the world? No. Me Paras, with the Shasina, Maharachrina Shasina. The Lashem Bnei Adam for sure is, he meant he's not going to drink from the Euphrates River. Chances are that he's not aware of the fact that all the water in the world comes from the Euphrates River, and as a result, he means that he can't even open up a bottle of water and drink it. Hello. What it means is, the Amalei Shasina Mimaya Da Asimi Paras. If the person was a little bit more precise in his language, in his nether, he said, I will not drink any water whose origin is the Euphrates River. In that case, he's out of business. All the Naharis of the world are below the three Naharis that the Torah mentions in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis. The Shloisha Naharis and those three Naharis that the Torah mentions over there, Alamata Miparas, they're beneath the fourth one of the Naharis that the Torah mentions over there, and that's the Euphrates River. In the context of course is Bereishis Perek Beis, where the Pasuk says, V'nahar yoytze me Eden. There was a nahar that emanated from Eden, Lahashkois HaSagan, that watered the garden, right? Adam HaRishon was born in Gan Eden, or that's where Hashem placed him. And it was a garden, literally. There were trees there, Teitz Hadas, Teitz HaChayim, and somehow these trees had to be watered. So what Hashem did was, he made a nahar emanate from Eden, Lahashkois HaSagan, Umisham Yiparet, and that nahar, whose purpose was to water Gan Eden, then split Vahoyalar Ba Roshim, and it became four rivers. Shema Echad Pishon. The second one is Gichon. The third one is Chidekel, and the fourth one is Paras. So says the Gemara that the first three, meaning not Paras, they're Lamata from all the Naharois, and Paras is Lamata from that. Says the Gemara Vaika Insa the Medan. How could you say that? How could you tell me that all the waters of the world come from Paras? If you're standing at the Euphrates River, you look up, you're going to see mountains. And on top of those mountains, there's going to be water. So how does the water on those mountains, on top of the Euphrates River,
come from the Euphrates River. So the Gemara says, Amar Mashar Shehani Sumi the Paras Ninu. There are springs underground that somehow cause the water to go up. They climb the mountain and they somehow come back down. Frank the Gemara, Vaksiv Anor Haravi, who paras? But there's another problem. The problem is that how could you tell me that the source of those three rivers is the Nahar Pras? L'chaira, the Torah, when it mentions the rivers, it mentions them all together. Not just that, Nahar Pras is even mentioned as the fourth one. If you look at the Pasuk, so when the Pasuk mentions the four rivers, there's a shinui lashon when it mentions the Nahar of Fras. When it comes to Pishon, it just says Shema Echad Pishon. Shema Nahar Hasheni Gichon. Shema Nahar Hashlishi Chidekel. V'hanor Haravi Hu Fras. It could have just said Vanor Haravi Fras. What's Hu Fras? Hu always suggests Meikara. And in this context, what it means is it's Meikara. It's the Iker. It's really where the other three rivers get their water from. So the Makar to all the water in the world is Nahar Fras. The other three rivers mentioned in Parashas Bereishis get their water from Nahar Fras, and all the other waters in the world get their water from those three. The bottom line is, if somebody makes a neder and he says, I'm not going to drink any water whose origin is Nahar Fras, he cannot drink water. As it relates to Nahar Fras, the real name of Nahar Fras is Yuval Shenemar. How do I know that? It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It says, V'hoya ke'et shasol al mayim, v'al Yuval yeshalach sherashav. And in that pasuk, Yuval is referring to Nahar Fras. Thus, you see that Nahar Fras is called Yuval. If that's the case, why would the Torah refer to it right in the beginning of Bereishis, Berak Beis? Why would we refer to it as Fras? Shemem of Parim Viravim. The reason is because its water causes itself to multiply. Not that other waters multiply from it, which is almost what it sounds like the Gemara was about to say. But that's not what it means, as we'll see from the next Gemara. What it means is that how does the Nahar Fras replenish itself? So when the water is low, how does the water pick up? It comes from itself. That there's some mechanism underground that causes the water to replenish. And this is something that's a raya to something Shmuel said. That you want to know a nahar, when it's running low on water, where does it supplement itself from? It comes mikife. It comes from in and of itself. Upliga de Rav, and that's not like what something Rav said. The Rav, Rav said in the name of Rav, Mitchub and Marava, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, Sadar Abba Paras, the Yidden that are living in Bavel, can know, they can say Eidos, that it rained in Eretz Yisrael, right? Whether it rained in Eretz Yisrael or not was a very big deal. Mashav Ruach Amar Dageshem, V'sein Talamat Levracha, the Sugis and Masachtas Tainas, different moifsim and stories that Chayni Amagel, that happened over the years, was a very big deal. You know, Anavi Nach 101, whether it rained or didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, was a very, very, very big deal, right? Vayihi Rav Baretz, Yaakov Avinu, that's how the Jews ended up in Mitzrayim for the first time. It was because of a Rav that was Baretz. So the people in Bavel knew what was going on. They knew the weather report in Eretz Yisrael, you know how? By looking at the Euphrates River. Because if the water levels were high, it meant that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you see from there? You see that Rav held that had as a river maintain itself. It's not mikifei mivrach. It's not, doesn't happen on its own, but rather it comes from megdeshamim. So again, a machlekes is Rav and Shmuel with all the halachic machlekes that they had. So this is a machlekes in Metzias. Shmuel held that the ikker water of a river comes from itself. Rav said that it comes primarily from Meg Shaman. Taisa says already that everybody agrees that Meg Shaman plays a role in water levels. I mean, Shmuel knew that also. But the question is it be'ikr, mekifei mivrach, or is it be'ikr going to come from Meg Shaman? Zok to Gemara, that believe it or not, this has a nafgamina l'halacha. How so? Avuah de Shmuel, Shmuel's father. Navuah de Shmuel, who was one of the Gidoyle Yamiram in his own right. Avaluhu le benase mikva b'yayim nisan. This is a Gemara, many places in Shas. He used to make for his daughters a mikvah that they can toivel in during Nisan, umapotzi b'yayim tishrei. And he made them mats that they should use when they toivel during the Tishrei time. Mikvah b'yayim nisan. The reason he made them a mikvah b'yayim nisan is because he did not want them to toivel in the river. He didn't want them to toivel. They lived in Bavel, so it would have been very practical and very convenient for them to go to the Euphrates River and be toivled. You can toivle in a river. It's a qualified mikvah. But at the same time, Avuah de Shmuel felt that it's not okay. You know why? Because Yoimei Nisan is after the winter. The winter is when it rains. And Savala Karav, Avuah de Shmuel held, not like his son Shmuel, but he held like Rav, the Omer Rav Ami, Omer Rav, Nitcha b'Marav, Asad Rav Aparas, that the river levels will go up when it rains in Eretz Yisrael. The point is that how does the river replenish itself? It comes from rainwater. And if it comes from rainwater, there's a halachic issue. G'shema yirbu noitfin al zoichalin v'havalu megis shamim ruba. There's a halacha that the only time you're allowed to be toivel to make shamim is if the water is in one place. So a mikvah is made up of make shamim. But a mikvah is also still water. If water is moving, it's okay, but not if the source of the water is rainwater. The point is that Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel was worried that after the winter, there's going to be so much rainwater, and the water in the Nahar Fras is water that's moving, it's Zoychalin, and he had a problem with it. He said that there's no way I could let you be toivel there. So he had no choice but to make him a mikvah, because he didn't want that. He was worried about all the make shamim that's inside the Euphrates River. What do you see from there? You see that he held like Rav, that a river is made up of so much make shamim that it might even be the Rav, and as a result, if it's flowing water, you're going to run into a problem. And it's for that reason he had no choice but to make his daughters a special mikveh that they can use right after the rain season. What was that about? So the reason he made them that, Rashi says, is because this was B'yomi Tishrei, after the summer, in which case he wasn't worried about all the rainwater, because unfortunately it doesn't rain a lot during the summer in those regions. So that wasn't his concern. His concern was the mud that shouldn't be a hefzik in the Euphrates River. I guess you go into the river, your feet are going to get very muddy. So he did was he made the mats that they could stand on for katzitza issues. So we just said this machlekes Rav and Shmuel, where a nar gets its water from. According to Shmuel, it gets it primarily mikife. According to Rav, it gets it primarily from rainwater. And we said avua de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, ironically, didn't hold like Shmuel. He held like Rav. By the way, upligidi de adide. In fact, we have a steer in Shmuel himself. Because even though Shmuel said mikife mivrach, but in light of what we just said, there would seem to be a steer in Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, ein amayim netorim bezoichalin, elo paras b'yomi tishrei. That Shmuel was himself worried about somebody toiveling in the Nahar Paras b'yomi nisan. What was he worried about? He was worried about all the rainwater. So you see that he didn't hold mikife mivrach so that the majority of the water in the Nar is not going to be make shamim. He was worried fakir. At the end of the winter, it's probably primarily rainwater. If it's primarily rainwater, now you have to know, is the water still, is the water moving? You're running into halachic issues. And that's why he said, stay away from it. This is what Avuah de Shmuel held, but this is all because Avuah de Shmuel held like Rav, not like Shmuel. If Shmuel himself took on this chumrah of his father, Avuah de Shmuel, this is a raya that Shmuel himself holds not like Shmuel. It's a problem, and that's what the Gemara says, that Shmuel's comment that he made more in the context of Divrei Agada, that Nahara Mikifei Mivrach would seem to be inconsistent with the halachic concern that Shmuel had as it related to being toivel in the Euphrates River, B'yomi Nisan, right after the rainy season. Either way, so before we conclude, just two ha'aras. The first ha'ara is, so we're learning the sugyas of Maisa Behem. And as we mentioned in the introduction to today's daf, and in the introduction Shavuos night to the parak, Maisa Behem, although it's called Maiser, but at the same time, it wasn't something that had to be given to a Kohen. It didn't have to be given to the Levi. All it was Hekdesh, which is again a big deal. You had to bring it to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. You had to be makavit as a carbon. You put the dam and the chalavim, which you can't eat anyways, on the Mizbeach. But as it relates to all the basar, all the kosher, you don't have to give anything to a Kohen. The Bailam got to eat it for himself. It was something that he himself was able to eat 100%. Meaning there was no halacha that it had to be given to the Bailam. And meaning, from the Meiser standpoint, it's more like Meiser Sheni than it was like Meiser Rishon. So you had Maisa Rishai, which had to be given to the Levium. Maisa Oni had to be given to the Aniyim. What was Maisa Sheini? You could eat it yourself. It's called Maisa, but you could eat it yourself. You just had to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Maisa Behema is more like Maisa Sheini. It's less like Maisa Rishai, and it's less like Maisa Oni. As Zoy State Mefurish and Rambam, I forgot to bring the Rambam with me, but as Zoy State and Rambam Mefurish, Perik Vav, Halacha Beis, and Hilchas Bechairis, as Zoy State and Rashi and Chumash, and the Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah Shin Samach, where he talks about the halachas of Maisa Behema, would seem to say the same thing as well. That's the only one I have here in front of me. It says, La'aser kola behemas tahiris. What's the mitzvah of Maisa Behema? To give Maiser from all the behemas tahiris, she bokor, v'tzoyin, v'izin, hanoldois, be'edrenu, b'chalshon, v'shon, ulohavi ha'maiser li'Yerushalayim. What do you do with it? You take the maaser, you bring it to Yerushalayim, u'loich l'sham, and you eat it there. That's what it's all about. There's no mitzvah anywhere to go ahead and give it to the kohen. So what do you do with maaser behema? You eat it. Stating that, you bring it first as a carbon, and then you eat it. In fact, the Rishonim, the way the Rambam speaks it out, the Rishonim Yazal, he says it's like the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach was a carbon, but the Baal made it. You didn't have to give any chelik of the carbon Pesach to the Kohen. Kohen had no chelik in the carbon Pesach. The Baal that brought the carbon Pesach got to eat it. There was just a din that before you ate the basar of the carbon Pesach, you had to be marked with it as a carbon. That's what Ma'aseh Behemah was. Ma'aseh Behemah, you had to bring as a carbon. Stating that, after you brought it as a carbon, you got to eat it. It wasn't one of the chafdalin matnis kahuna. It wasn't given to kohanim. It wasn't given to levim. Again, it was more like maaser sheni. It was less like maaser rishon and like maaser on. You know, we're chazering it because it's a very, very important insight. This is for sure the conventional wisdom, and there's many, many makaris to this. The Rambam in Ziyad Chazaka, Rashi and Chumash, Sefer HaChinuch. These are the most basic, the first places you look if you want to know something from a halachic standpoint. And Kulon, Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad say the same thing. Ma'aseh Behema was Nechel Abaylim. It just had to be brought first as a carbon, and they all used a muscle similar to the carbon Pesach. Stating that, I saw in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rav Sadia Goyim, Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, in his commentary on it, he brings a list of Rishonim with unbelievable Bekias and unbelievable Hekka that he believes argued with this. He's like, so as much as this is technically a universally accepted Yisoid, but he says he has Rishonim that he believes said not that way. The first is Rav Sadia Goyin. Rav Sadia Goyin, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, so he says as follows, Loi kol maiser ha'aretz u'mikneo tikva uni. So he's talking about maiser ha'aretz, that's regular maiser Rishon, and he's talking about the maiser of mikneo, miloshen mikne, the maiser that you give from your cattle. What are you supposed to do with it? Don't steal it from me. Rather, what should you do? You should bring it as food. And you should give it to my Misharsim and my Yedidim. Who are they? They're the Kayarim and the Levim. So this is poetry from Rav Sadia Goyin. Beautiful. But says Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, that Lechayra, just read this stanza in the poetry of Rav Sadia Goyin. What's he saying? He says, "Loi kol ma'aser ha'aretz u'mikneo tikva uni. Have you teref l'mishar sabiyadidai? Take the ma'aser of the aretz, ma'aser rishon, and the ma'aser of the mikne of the cattle, and you should bring the l'mishar sabiyadidai." So says Rav Sadia Goyin. I think I have a metzia noira in Rav Sadia Goyin, but l'shoinei hazahav, literally, where he seems to be saying that the Maisa Behema is supposed to be given the Meshor Sai V'Yadidai, which is of course the Kayanim. So I think, says Rav, even though the Rambam and Rashi and the Chinuch say not that way, but the Chur of Sadia Goyin, who predated all of them, the Chur of Sadia Goyin, it would seem that he held that really Maisa Behema is supposed to be given to the Kayanim as well. Says Rav Sadia Goyin, I'll show you some other Rishonim, we'll mention two. The first is the Ritva. The Ritva is in Mesechtes Bava Metzia. It's brought down in the Shita Mekubetzes and the Sugya of Tokfu Koyim. So in the Sugya of Tokfu Koyim, Ma'aseh Behema is featured very prominently. The Gemara brings the famous case of Kofatz Echem and Aminuyin. So the halacha is Kulam Patur. There's halacha that once an animal went Tachas HaShevet, it was counted as one of the 10. Doesn't matter if it was number 10 or number 4. But once it went Tachas HaShevet, it can't go Tachas HaShevet a second time. Says the Gemara, what happens if somebody has an Eder and a goat went Tachas HaShevet? So a goat has a life, has a mind of its own, right? So it went Tachas HaShevet, they jump back in. Says the Gemara, you don't know which goat is the one that went Tachas HaShevet, which one didn't go Tachas HaShevet. It's a Mishnah, Kulon Peturin. They're all going to be part. Freita, Isakasha, the Rosh, all the Rishayim ask, why is the halacha that if one of the minuyim, one animal that's potter from Ma'aseh Behema, jumped into a group of animals that are chayv in Ma'aseh Behema, that all the animals are now going to be potter? Why don't you say that the one that's potter is bottle to the roiv that are not potter? For the battle of Aruba, as Eifrei Teisus Akasha, and Toisvis says that the reason you don't say bittel b'roiv is because an animal is about chay. And a Baal Chai is a Dover Choshev, and a Dover Choshev is not bottle. Says Toisvis, you can ask me a kasha, that this idea that a Baal Chai is not bottle, that's all a halacha midrabban. Midday writes a Baal Chai is bottle. It's only midrabban. Chaticha Ruilis Chave, Beria, so Beria is a Shiloh, but Dover Choshev, these are all things, Pashtis, that midrabban are not bottle. Midday Raisa, they are bottle. Meaning midday Raisa, right now, it's bottle. Midday Raisa, there's a chiyuv ma'aseh behema. If you're going to tell me, oh, it's a davar choshev, it's not bottle, and as a result, there's one animal that's potter for ma'aseh behema, so I can't be mafresh ma'aseh behema. Essentially, what you're saying
is that even though midiraisa there is a chi of maisa behema, but midirabanan we're going to be oikir the chi of deiraisa. Frank Tosfos, could the chachamim be oikir adavim and atayra? So Tosfos, yeah, it's a sugya in Perak Isha Rabba, Mesachtes Yevamis, Peites, Sadik Tzadav, all those halachas yesh koyach biyad chachamim. That's true. Lakir adavim and atayra b'shev altaisa. And we're not telling you become that say to do something b'shev altaisa. Just stop what you're doing. You're middle being mafresh ma'aseh behema. One of the minuyan jumped in, even though midiraisa you have a chiv to continue being mafresh ma'aseh behema, but midirabanan we're going to tell you not to. The rabbanon could be oikir deiraisa. Yes. B'shev al taisa yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakir dovim en atayra. As I state in taisa, zokter itva. It's a pellet to me. Because it's true, there is a sugi mesachtes yevamis that yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakir dovim en atayra. But hainu, las oy shum geder oy shum siyog v'atayra. That's only if it makes sense. That's to be a very good reason to do it. So if they want to make a geder or a siyog, so they're going to be oyke dovim en atayra b'shev al taisa. What's a classic example? You don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias b'Shabbos. What do you mean? You have a mitzvah that you rise to the flow shofar. You're right. Yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakadovim and atoyro b'shev al taisa lasoy siyog v'geder. We don't want chilul Shabbos. So to prevent chilul Shabbos, yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakadovim and atoyro b'shev al taisa. But the ilu b'chdila yakrile. But for nothing in this fagunisht, of course they'd never do that. There would have to be a very good reason, a good motivation for the chachamim to be oikudav b'shev al taisa. V'hocha says the Ritva over here, get ready for the punchline, amrinam p'tirim mina ma'isa b'chti. They're just for no reason saying your pot. What are they gaining by saying your pot from ma'isa b'hema? Says Ritva, I don't know, I don't hear. You wonder if they could do it? Yeah, of course they could do it. They have rights to do it. But there has to be a good reason for it. Explain to me, says the Ritva, why in the world the chachamim would be oikin the mitzvah of ma'aseh behemah? I understand why they said don't blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah Shechalias b'Shabbos. I got it. I understand why they said don't take talud minin on Sukkot Shechalias b'Shabbos. That I understand. And go through all the sugyas of yesh koyach b'yad chachamim. There's always a good, there's a very noble cause that's motivating, that's driving this yesh koyach b'yad chachamim. But over here, stam to say that you're going to be potter from ma'aseh behemah, what are you accomplishing by doing that? V'oid, says the Ritva, this is mamish terrible, you know why? Because v'avdi gezel ha-shevet. By you saying that there's no chiv ma'aseh behemah, you're stealing from the kayanim. Freik, Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, who are you stealing from? Which kayanim are you stealing from? Now, loch of ma'aseh behemah, the way the Rambam reads it in paragraph, loch of beis hilchos b'chayros, and the way Rashi says it in Chumash, and the way the Mechinuch says it in Mitzvah Shin Samach, and the way every single person ever learned it, is that the Bailam eat the ma'aseh behemah. There's just halacha. You bring it as a carbon, and then after you bring it as a carbon, you're not stealing from the shev. The kayanim are getting nothing. The dam is going to Mizbeach, the chalavim are going to Mizbeach, and all the kosher meat, the Bailim is going to eat. So where's the gezel of the Maman HaShevet? Yet the Ritva, when he was digging Zichwat Teisvis in the Sugi of Takfukayin, talk about tucked away. When he was digging Zichwat Teisvis in the Sugi of Takfukayin, he said, Teisvis says we're going to patter this shepherd from all his chi of ma'aseh behemah, because yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakadovim min ha'Torah. Freik the Ritva, two kashas. Number one, what's the motivation? V'oid, you're stealing. You're stealing from the kayanim. Weisloy says the grip that the Ritva held, that ma'aseh behemah is not nechal abayla. Ma'aseh behemah belongs to the kayanim. That's the second rishon. So you have Rav Sadia Goyen, and you have the Ritva. The third and final for this morning is the Rabbeinu Chanana, as quoted by all the Rishonim in Perek Hazroya, the Halechoyayim v'Akeva, in the end of Masechtos Chulin. The context over there is the halacha that Kohanim are potter from Zroya L'Chaim v'Akeva. Kohanim are potter from Reish Lageis. We spent a lot of time on this. Right? The Anshei Hutzel were in Cherem for Chav Bei Shana for 22 years, because even though Mi'ikra didn't Kohanim are potter from Zroya L'Chaim v'Akeva, but the Chachamim imposed that Midrabanan they're supposed to. And that sugya, the Rajman, the Ritvan, the Ramban, and all the Rishonim quote, the Rabbeinu Chananel said that just like Kohanim are potter again from Zroya L'Chaim v'Akeva, and the potter from Reishis Hageis, they're also potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. So if you're a Kohen and you have animals, there's no halacha of Asiri Kodesh, Kohanim are potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. And all the Rishonim ask, Ke'ish echad b'lev echad the same kasha from a Gemara that we spoke about for about an hour on Shavuos night, and that's the Gemara Masechtes Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about Elazar ben Azariah. He used to give ma'aseh behemah chol shasa v'shasa. How much ma'aseh behemah did he give? He gave 12,000 agalim every single year for ma'aseh behemah. And we spoke about it with regards to Tosfos in the beginning of the parak, where Tosfos says that Elazar ben Azariah in Cheshbon
was only bar mitzvah after the Churban, and it would seem that he was giving Maisa Behema after the Churban. Either Gemara says that Bezman Hazah we don't give Maisa Behema, Gzeir Mishum Takal. So that's what we spoke about. But either way, Fregid the Rishonim, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is giving Maisa Behema. What do you see from there? The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos that after the story with Rabbi Gamliel, the Yavne, Oisei Ayoyim with Rabbi Yeshua, Masechtas Idias, they removed Rabbi Gamliel from being the Nasi. Who was the next Nasi? So it couldn't be Rabbi Yeshua because he was the Bala Maestro, Rabbi Akiva, the Navichos. So they decided Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because he was Doira Siri from Ezra Soifer, and he was also a Gvir. So they felt Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was clearly the perfect candidate. Problem is he was too young. Hashem made a miracle, made him look old. Harei Ani Kevem, Shivim Shon. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. He's Ben Achar Ben, Doira Siri from Ezra Soifer. If he was a Kohen, why is he giving Maisa Behema? As I freak the Rajba, all the Rishayna Masters Kasha. Gvaldi. Says, but I don't hear the grace of Kasha, because we know Tosfos asked a different Kasha. Tosfos Kasha was, again, the Kasha that he asks right in the beginning of the Perek, Pachayrus Nun Gimel, and he also asks it in Shabbos, Nun Dalet, not Nun Gimel, Nun Dalet. And he asks the same Kasha, which is what? That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is giving Maisa Behema, it's after the Churban. What do you give Maisa Behema after the Churban? And Tosfos says in one Teretz, it wasn't really Maisa Behema, it was Arnunas HaMelech. It's similar to Maisa Behema, similar tax rate. But really it wasn't. It wasn't Maisa Behema. It was really taxes. That's what it was. He was paying income taxes. That's what essentially the Gemara is saying. So if it's Arnunas HaMelech, it has nothing to do with Maisa Behema. So Dr. Mechas Chinuch, he doesn't know why all the Rishonim was so bothered with Rabbeinu Chananel's Chiddush. Because at the end of the day, all I need to say is Rabbeinu Chananel held like Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Nun Dal. Everybody knows the Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Chananel held like that Tosfos. So it says the Mechas Chinuch and Azak Kasha Startman. Doesn't bother me so much. A bezok the grip. I'm going to take something else out of Rabbeinu Chananel. Why in the world should a kohen? What would be the havamina ben benoy shel havamina that a kohen should be potter from Maisa Behema? Mechatesi says Rabbeinu Chananel because he's potter from Israel Chaim and Keva. He's potter from Reishis Hages. So memelo he should be potter from Maisa Behema. No shaychus. You know why he's potter from Zroi L'chaim and Keva? Because he gets the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. Because he's on the other side of that transaction. You know why he's potter from Reishis Hageis? Because what do you do with the Reishis Hageis? The first shearing of wool of your sheep. You give it to the Kayan. Say, hey, Yois, he's the recipient of Zroi L'chaim and Keva. He's the beneficiary of the Reishis Hageis. So it's for that reason he himself is potter. It doesn't have to be that way. But that's what's mavur in the sugyas. If you'll tell me that Koyhanim are potter from Maisa Behema. So then, Zok the grip, I understand what Rabbeinu Chananel was saying. It makes sense that there too, being that he himself is the one that gets the Maisa Behema. So maybe now he's going to be potter from the Maisa Behema. But if you're telling me there's no halacha that you're supposed to give your Maisa Behema to the Koyhan, so why in the world should the Koyhan be potter from Maisa Behema? The reason he's potter from Zroi L'chaim because he gets the Zroi L'chaim Kevel. The reason he's potter from Reish Lageis because he gets the Reish Lageis. Maisa Behema is Nechel Abaylam, like the Rambam says in Perek Vavolocha Beis and Luchas Becharis, and like Rashi says in Chumash, and like the Chinuch says in Mitzvah Sin Tzarek, and like everybody knows. So if the Kohen doesn't get the Maisa Behema, so why is he a Yuchis when it comes to Maisa Behema? Is a Kohen potter from Korban Pesach when you have Shah? There's no Sheiches to him. Bishlam is Zroi L'chaim Kevel, Reish Lageis. Yeah, he's a Yuchis. He's different. He's on a pedestal. He receives these matanos. So memelo, there's a basis to say that maybe he's potter from it. Okay, I can hear such a chiddush, says Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perla. But if you're going to tell me that he doesn't get it in the first place, then it's a pella. Elamai zok the grip. You know what I see? You know what I see in this Rabbeinu Chananel that he also held? He held like Rav Sadyu Goyen in B'lashoyne Hazav, where Rav Sadyu Goyen in his poetry said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're supposed to take the Maisa Behema and you're supposed to give it a Mishor Sai V'yedidai. And he held like the Ritva in the Sugya of Takfu Goyen, who was bothered. Even though there's a bitul, you're stealing from the Kayanim. That's mafurish that Maisa Behema is supposed to go to the Kayanim. So we have three Rishayim, meaning the Pashtis, of course, is the Maisa Behema is supposed to go to nobody. The Bailam just has to bring it as a carbon. It's Nachal Bailam. He gets to eat it for himself. Stating that, we have three Rishonim that the grip brings. If you want to look it up inside, it's in his Pirish to Rav Sadyu Goyen Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's Mitzvahs Asei Peivav. But either way, it's an Arichos. It's 10 pages long. But just to extract three Rishonim, who are the three Rishonim? You have Rav Sadyu Goyen, one of the Goyenim. You have the Ritva, as brought down in the Shita B'Kubetzis and the Sugi of Takfu Koyen, and you have Rabbeinu Chananel, as all the Rishonim quoted in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, we're leaving a very chashuva aura on the table, so Bezrat Hashem, we're going to have to come back to it tomorrow.